If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, it says this, starting at verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. As such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. So this past weekend was pretty awesome, right, men?
Yeah.
Dude, it was awesome. Dude, there was some fire this weekend. I'm stealing everything that we did and bringing it back to our church. Like, it's so good. Even while I was here, I was like, dude, we got to take communion like this. This is way better than the silly way we do it. That's why I was taking a video. I was like, Amanda, this is how we're doing communion from now on. Something cool happened the previous weekend too, Saturday, March 17th. What day was that?
St. Patrick's Day.
Y'all have a good St. Patrick's Day? That was a test. Don't answer. Okay. I'm always waiting for someone to be like, woo, St. Patrick's Day. And we'd like, we need to pray deliverance for that dude. Dude, I don't know what it is, but, and I never experienced this in Seattle or Western Washington. I don't have to call it Seattle here. I call it Seattle everywhere else because nobody knows where Auburn is. So I was like, I'm from Seattle. But I don't know how it is here because I was never really like into the drinking scene or anything like that. But in Iowa, man, the St. Patrick's Day culture is huge. Like, businesses shut down, the roads closed down for parades, everything's decked out in green, people wish each other St. Patrick's Day, and I don't know why, it's not like there's a huge Irish population in Iowa, I think Iowans just like to get drunk, like, I think that's just the reality of it, and dude, it honestly kind of breaks my heart a little bit. I don't know if Matt talked about St. Patrick last week or not, but I don't think St. Patrick would be proud of the way in which we celebrate his namesake, because the reality is that St. Patrick was a mighty man of God. Dude wasn't even Irish, first of all. He was British. Did y'all know that? St. Patrick was British. He got enslaved when he was 16 years old, taken away to Ireland. He escaped, broke free, and instead of holding grudges against his captors, he preached the gospel to the nation of Ireland. That's what he did. Dude, so our church is in between two other bars in Iowa. We got a bar on the left and a bar on the right. St. Patrick's Day, the street was just trash, smelled like vomit and alcohol, and we were out there cleaning up. And dude, what really broke my heart is all of these shamrocks, these three-leaf clovers that have beer logos all over them. And I'm like, man, you know what St. Patrick's used the shamrock for? He used it to explain the Trinity to children. That's what he used the shamrock. It wasn't for selling beer. Now listen, why do I say all of that? Because, I don't know, I just needed to preface why I'm using this sermon. Because I'm not talking about St. Patrick's Day today. I'm talking about something significantly more ridiculous than that. And dude, the reality is, this is the weirdest, craziest sermon example that I've ever come up with. But Pastor Matt said, if you're preaching on Sunday, you better preach the best sermon you've ever preached in your life. And so I was like, and then I was like, bro, I was out here 6 months ago. I preached the best sermon on Wednesday. Like, you want me to preach that one again? But 2 weeks ago, I was preaching a sermon, and I referenced this message. I preached it about 2 years ago, and I referenced it, and everybody in the room remembered the example. And they all got fired up, and they're like, yeah, cake ain't green, bro. And I was like, y'all remember this? And they were like, it's the only one. It's the one time we remember your sermon. And so I was praying about it, and we're so close. This is close to St. Patrick's Day. It just seemed to fit. Would you bring that title slide up? I don't want to preach about St. Patrick's Day. I want to preach about St. Patrick's cake. Okay? That's what I want to talk about. St. Patrick's cake. So, let's say you were going to a St. Patrick's Day party. Okay? Just go into imagination land with me. You're going to a St. Patrick's Day party, and you got to bring a cake. All right? Your job is to bring the cake. What color you want that cake to be?
Green.
Green, right? Now, I don't know how to bake at all, but I could make a green cake. It's not hard. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down to the Safeway. I'm going to find myself a Betty Crocker vanilla cake mix box and some frosting, and I'm going to get some green food coloring, right? Pretty easy, right? And so I'm going to go home, and maybe y'all have had this experience. You ever have this experience when you're cooking something? Like, and I don't cook a lot, but like, you ever make those frozen orange juice? Like, you put the orange juice in, and then you got to put 3 cans of water. Dude, I do this all the time. I'll do 1 can of water, 2 cans of water, and then I'll be like, how many cans of water did I put in? And then I'm like looking, and I'm like, did I put in 3? Right? I get distracted, right? And I'm trying to figure it out. So go back into this imagination cake story, okay? You're baking the cake. So you pour out the powder, you crack the eggs, you put in the oil, you're stirring it up, you get the green food coloring out, you open the green food coloring, and your phone rings. And it's your mom, okay? She needs text support. She can't get on the internet, okay? And she's calling you up, and an hour and a half later, you find out the problem was she forgot to plug the computer in. And you're like, mom, like, let's start there, okay? Everything's fixed. You go back to your cake batter. But you can't remember where you left off. Now, you know you put the eggs in, and you know you put the oil in, because you already cleaned that up and put it up. But you can't remember if you put the green food coloring in. Okay? This is so ridiculous, but y'all are going to follow me, all right? You can't remember if you put the green food coloring. Did I put that green food coloring in or not? What are you going to do? You're going to look at the batter. Either the batter's green, or the batter's not green. Here's what you're not gonna do. You're not gonna dig through the garbage and look for the wrapper of the food coloring and try to read the instructions. You're not gonna go digging in the garbage trying to figure it out. You're not gonna look at that food coloring and be like, did I put a couple of drops in? Is there a, no man, that would be ridiculous, right? All you're gonna do is you're gonna look at that cake batter because you know that when you add food coloring to cake batter, a change is made. Right? Some of y'all know where I'm going with this morning, right? Some of y'all know where I'm going. Some of y'all are falling already. The Bible uses the same type of example when it comes to our sins. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together. I love that. Let us reason together. Isaiah 1, 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. That's God saying, come on, man, just think about it. Be logical. Like, it's not that hard. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Just like the cake batter, our sins are a different color than we want them to be. They're an ugly scarlet, but when introduced to the grace of God, they become as white as snow. If you have ever asked yourself, dude, am I really saved? Am I really on my way to heaven? Do I really know Jesus like everybody else knows Jesus? Cause I mean, I said the prayer and I did the thing, but am I really saved? Man, all you gotta do is examine the color of your life. Just like you would examine the color of your cake batter, all you gotta do is examine, has my life been introduced to the changing grace of Jesus Christ or not? It's not that difficult. Yes. I'll say it one more time just to make it clear. We could tell whether cake batter has been introduced to food coloring by observing the color of the batter. And we could tell if Jesus has been applied to our lives by observing if our sin pattern has changed. Yes. That's good. Father, I thank you so much for this message, Lord, that you have put on my heart to share this morning. Father, I ask that it would not be my words, but your words. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would flow through this message. I pray for everybody in this room, Holy Spirit, that you would be our ears for us, that we would hear what you would have us to hear. Each of us are unique. Each of us are in a different place in our lives. So Holy Spirit, would you hear for us so that everybody in this room receives from this message for the glory of the kingdom of Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, so I started with a verse in 1 Corinthians. What does it have to do with this green cake story? Because I want to show you how simple this passage in 1 Corinthians is. A lot of times, let me just read it again. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. You got it up there? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Point one this morning, this verse from 1 Corinthians is about needing change. It's about needing change. It's not about condemnation. It's about needing change. If your St. Patty's Day cake isn't green, you don't condemn the batter to the garbage, do you? You don't look at it and be like, white cake? To the trash with you. I'm not bringing you. No, man. What do? You put the food coloring in. You're not like, to hell with you, white cake batter. No, man. You know what you're not going to do? You're not going to go outside, get a piece of cardboard and a picket and write on it, white cake batter's going to the garbage, and go down and pick it. Right? That's not helping anyone. Right? All you're going to do is introduce the food coloring. This verse in 1 Corinthians is so often used for condemnation. There are Christians, and well-meaning or not, who decide to take this verse and use it to condemn people to hell. But this verse is not about condemnation. It's not about condemning anyone. It's about needing change, knowing that we need change. When reading scripture, context is key. So many people take this verse out of context. You see, if you skip verse 11 and only read verses 9 and 10, this section of scripture sounds very condemning. And listen, I know Matt probably does this too, but I read a lot of scripture when I preach. Because, dude, if it ain't Bible, then what's the point, okay? So, like, I'm going to read the same scriptures over and over because I want you leaving here remembering this, okay? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. If you leave out verse 11, dude, it sounds so condemning. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah, man, you read just that, it sounds condemning. Man, I have seen that verse multiple times on big signs that Christians hold up during parades, during large events. They put those two verses on the sign. You know what's funny? Verse 11 never seems to make the sign. Like, verse 11 never seems to make the sign, man. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you. In context, this section of scripture is not about condemnation. Instead, it's about the hope of Jesus Christ. Yes. Dude, if your cake batter ain't green, just add the food color into the mix. And if people who are not changed, if they are living in these lifestyles, drunkenness, adultery, fornication, whatever it is, man, we don't need to condemn them. We don't need to throw them aside. Man, we just need to recognize, hey, their cake ain't green. Let's add some food coloring. Hey, man. Their sins are still red like scarlet. Let's introduce them to Jesus. Amen. Like, that's it. We don't need to condemn them. Amen. Did you know the Bible says that it's not condemnation that leads people to repentance? In fact, it's God's goodness. It's God's kindness that leads people to repentance. Romans 2, verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? According to this verse, the whole point of God's kindness, the whole point of his kindness is to lead us to repentance. Not condemnation, but kindness and goodness and love. This point, again, is titled, it's about needing change. The problem with taking this verse out of context is that it actually swings both ways. I preached through 1 Corinthians because Matt told me I needed to start preaching through the Bible. And y'all see Matt's little video online where he was like, you need to steal? Did you guys see that? Y'all need to watch his videos, man. They're money. Dude, he's absolutely right. I look at Faith and Victory and I'm like, I want my church to be like that church. And so I'm going to steal all of Matt's ideas, right? So one day I was talking to Matt and I was like, how do you preach? And he was like, I preach through the Bible. And I'm like, you preach through the Bible? I'm preaching through the Bible. Like, that's how it's going to be, because I want my church. And it has been so life-changing for me and for our church, because there are a million topics in the Bible that I would never preach on. Like, I would just skip over their verses. And so God told me to preach on 1 Corinthians, and dummy me, I didn't read it before I agreed and announced it to the church. And so I was like, dude, God said 1 Corinthians. And I'm reading through 1 Corinthians like, I got to preach on that, Lord? Like, if we just forget that verse? But dude, it's good. It challenges me to grow. It challenges our church to grow. And that being said, I spent probably 400 hours studying the book of 1 Corinthians over a 3-year time period. I know this book better than any other book in the Bible because that's what we've been going through. We're now in Luke. We finished up at the beginning of the year, 1 Corinthians. And I tell you that because actually, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and he's rebuking them not because they've been too judgmental, but because they have been covering all of these sins with grace. You see, the pendulum swings both ways, right? In the middle, there is God is fully loving and fully just. And for a lot of American history, we were over here. God is fully just and not all that loving. Right? But what's happening, especially in Seattle, especially here, man, this pendulum's way over here. Yeah. Right? God is fully loving, but not all that just. But the reality is that God is loving and he's just. He doesn't sacrifice his justice for his love, and he doesn't sacrifice his love for his justice. He is 100% of both. But the problem that the Corinthians were having is the same problem that many churches, especially in this region, have. It is that they have understood the power of God's grace, but they have sacrificed God's justice. It's almost like they've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. In fact, just a few verses before, Paul rebukes them because this church in Corinth, they had a man who was having relations with his father's wife. Okay? That's how scripture puts it. You've got a guy who is having those kind of relations with his father's wife, right? Now, most people say it's his stepmom that this kid is having relationships with, but we don't know. I think we just say it's a stepmom because if it's his mom, ooh, right? Like, so we're just gonna assume that it's a stepmom. But the problem is, and this is real, this was a real problem that the Corinthians had. They were boasting about it. They were saying, look how loving and grace-filled our church is. Look who we've got in leadership, a guy who's in this kind of sin. He's in this, and Paul was like, even the world doesn't accept that kind of sin. But they're like, dude, we love people so much that look how awful he is. And we still let this guy do this. And we still raise him up and we still let him serve. And Paul's like, whoa, 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 whoa. He's rebuking the other side. He's saying, don't you know that that kind of person doesn't inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know that that kind of person's not making it to heaven? And he's not saying it to condemn the person. He's saying it because he desperately wants them to introduce Jesus to him. Because he wants them to be saved. All he's saying is, look at their life. Clearly Jesus hasn't been applied. Let's go back to the cake example. Love this cake example. Let's say you're invited to a big St. Patrick's Day party, and there's one rule. All the food has to be green. That's the rule, okay? Everybody knows it's on the invites, it's on the flyer. You got the call, and they're like, hey, bro, you bring in the cake, make sure it's green, because only green food is allowed in this party. So you got your broccoli and your salads and your green eggs and ham, and, of course, you've got your green cake. And you know that when you go to this party, there's going to be a bouncer at the front door because it's a very serious rule that they have at this party, okay? And the bouncer is going to check every piece of food to make sure that it's green. The bouncer doesn't care how pretty the food is. The bouncer doesn't care if the food looks appetizing or not. All the bouncer cares is that the food is green. So the dude with the broccoli comes up and it's overcooked and it looks kind of slimy, but it's green. Come on in. The dude with the salad comes up and there's no dressing and it's dry, but it's green. Come on in. Then you come up with this beautiful cake. And he says, let me take a slice of that thing. Let me take a look. And he looks at the cake and he's like, hey man, you can't come in with that cake. Cake's got to stay out here. You can come into the party, but that cake's not coming in. And you're like, hey dude, bro, come on man. Bouncer, what about grace? The bouncer's like, I don't know about this grace, but your cake ain't green, bro. Dude. Bouncer, you don't understand. My cake grew up in a green cake family. That's fine, man. Cake ain't green, bro. It's not coming in. Bro, My cake is the most St. Patrick's Day cake ever. Every Sunday it goes to St. Patrick's Cathedral on First Avenue. Don't you know? I don't know anything about that. All I know is that your cake ain't green, bro. It's not coming in. That's it. Y'all pick it up when I'm laying down. How many of y'all know I'm not preaching about cake this morning? That's what Paul was saying. Only people who have been changed by the saving grace of Christ, who have gone from scarlet sin to white as snow, only those are the people who can enter the kingdom of God. It's only them who enter heaven. So please do not ignore the lack of evidence of Christ in your life. But that's exactly what the Corinthians were doing. They were ignoring the sin. They were allowing the sinner to stay a sinner and hoping at the end of the day they could just claim grace and that quote unquote grace would win. I'm sorry, that's pet peeve. I'm sorry, Pastor Matt. Okay. They've heard you say it? All right. Well, let me just, since you've talked about it, dude, you know the biggest problem with that song? They say, for the thief on the cross, grace wins. I'm like, which one? Because there was two thieves. Like, what about the other guy? Dude, there's not a competition. Grace is not in a battle. Grace is overwhelming. It's not fighting against justice. Okay? Sorry, man. I'm sorry. That song gets me. Someone needs to bring their phone up to the altar. So you give that thing up. It's not about condemnation. It's about needing change. Now, speaking about needing change, here's point two this morning. We need to identify the need for change. We need to identify the need for change. This verse from 1 Corinthians, the one that I started with, this scary sounding, condemning sounding verse, it's about needing change, but it's also about identifying the need for change. Now, did you know that there is an English word that we can use to sum up the phrase identifying the need for change? It's called judge. It's a scary word. Okay? It's a scary word, man. Dude, Christians treat the word judge like it's a swear word. Dude, what's the first thing you think of when you think about Christianity and judging? I bet most of y'all think the verse, thou shalt not judge, lest ye be judged. And that's a good verse. It's a true verse. I'm not denying that verse. Luke 6:37. Jesus speaking. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Dude, it's a beautiful verse. There's nothing wrong with that verse. There's so much joy and forgiveness in that verse. But again, we can't just take it out of context. We continue on, Luke 6:41-42. Just a couple of verses later, Jesus still speaking. Another verse that people use to say you shouldn't judge. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye when you yourself cannot see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log. That's a judgy sounding word, Jesus, by the way. Sorry. You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is, to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Did you catch that? Yeah. Jesus never said, don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye. Jesus never said, ignore the speck in your brother's eye. Jesus never said, grace will cover the speck in your brother's eye. So then verse 37 says, judge not. But verse 42 says something very differently. Verse 42 says, I want you to help the brother with your speck. But you need to judge yourself first. You need to see what's in your way. Because I want you to help them in truth and love. And I want you to be equipped to be able to help them with their issue. So first we judge ourselves. Lord, how can I be living a better life? What is causing me not to see clearly? How can I get the log out of my eye? And then as God is redeeming me and restoring me, then I can come alongside my brother. And I'm like, dude, I know what it's like to have a speck of wood in your eye, man. I've had a log in my eye for so long. Can I please help you with yours? Because I don't want you to suffer like I did. Dude, there's nothing wrong with that kind of judging. The truth is that there's two kinds of judgment. There is judgment that is wrong, and there is judgment that is holy. Wrong judgment is to judge and to look at someone and to say because of the way you look or the way that you speak or where you came from or what your culture is or the way that you act, I am going to believe this about you. That's wrong judgment. That's not godly judgment. We don't need to be doing that kind of judgment. But there is a righteous way to judge. How then should we judge? Jesus tells us. We judge by the fruit. The next verse, Luke 6, 43 through 44. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. How many of y'all know Jesus isn't talking about fruit trees here? Just as much as I'm not talking about cake. Okay? But it's a great example. Jesus uses these great examples. All right, you don't need a doctorate's degree in horticulture to be able to tell if a tree is an apple tree or an orange tree. How do you tell? If a tree has apples on it, what kind of tree is it? If a tree has oranges on it, what kind of tree is it? You want to know something funny? I asked that to my church, and they said apple both times. I was like, if a tree has oranges on it, what kind of tree is it? And they were like, apple? Like, you don't need to study the bark. You don't need to study the leaves. You don't need to study the soil patterns. You don't need to know what region, what kind of tree. If a tree's got apples on it, it's an apple tree. If a person has Christian fruit on them, they're a Christian. And if they have worldly fruit on them, they're worldly. It's pretty simple, man. It's pretty easy. This is how we judge as godly people. We look at the fruit. Sometimes we have to even humble ourselves and look past the action. You know what? I got a guy in my church who is super, super rough on his kids. He loves them. He doesn't hurt them. He loves them. But man, is he strict. And I look at his parenting style, and sometimes it makes me uncomfortable. But then I look at his children, and they're full of joy and love and peace, and they obey their father. They obey me. They have respect for the Lord. They have friends. They're smart. And I look, and I'm saying, instead of judging by your action, I'm going to judge by your fruit. And the fruit is good. Right? That's how we judge as Christians. In the same way that it's okay to quote unquote judge our cake batter to see if we've put in green food coloring, it's okay to judge our lives. And when looking at it and say, man, has Jesus changed my life? So how can you judge your life? If you're sitting here right now and you are not secure in your salvation, and you're wondering, man, dude, am I really saved? And dude, there's people who go to church for years and years, their whole life, and never have security in their salvation. And if that's you this morning, I'm not condemning you. I just want to show you how you can examine yourself. All you got to do is look at the fruit. Look at the fruit in your life. Here's what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. Galatians 5, 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you want to know if you're Christian, if you want to know if you're saved, look at your life. Do you have love? Not just emotional love, but compassionate, encompassing love. Love without conditions. Love for God. Love for your neighbors. Love for your enemies. Or do you only love those who love you back? Do you have joy? Not happiness, not fun, but joy. A sense of fullness and completeness in the Lord. A joy that comes in all circumstances, both good and bad. Do you have peace? The Bible says that Jesus is a peace that surpasses all understanding. You should be so peaceful that people look at you weird. And be like, how can you be at peace in this situation? I don't know, but Jesus. Are you patient, kind, and good to others? Or are you quickly angered, often getting into arguments over silly things? Are you faithful? Does your yes mean yes and your no mean no? Can people trust you? Are you gentle? Do you exercise self-control? Remember, I'm not talking about judging others right now. I'm talking about judging yourself. Okay? Now, I added verse 24 to this. Can you bring up Galatians 5, 24? I think there's another fruit of the Spirit that we don't talk about. Hey, this is right after the other fruit is listed. Here's Galatians 5, 24. I think this is the last fruit. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Do you take up your cross daily? Do you die to yourself? When you realize there's a problem with yourself, do you hide? Do you run? Do you justify? Or do you say, man, maybe I need to kill this inside of myself so I can be more like Jesus? That's what Christians do. Now, these are just a few questions, and God doesn't expect you to pass the test perfectly, okay? All right? God doesn't expect you to pass the test perfectly, but you should at least see change. You should at least be able to say, you know what? I'm not perfectly patient, but I'm a whole lot more patient than before Jesus. Yeah. And I'm not perfectly kind. Sometimes I still slip up, but dude, you should have seen me before. Yeah. Do you have the change? Can you say, you know what? There was a time when I had worldly fruit, and then I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and all of a sudden this godly fruit started popping up. Because if you don't, then your cake ain't green, bro. Like that's it. And if that's the case, it's okay, man. Just add Jesus. Just add Jesus. Now maybe you're saved, but there are areas in your life where the fruit is missing. Maybe your marriage doesn't seem to be flowing with the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe things are falling apart. There seems to be nothing but anger and resentment and hurt. Maybe all you do is argue. Maybe the love is gone. In that case, let me save you thousands of dollars on professional counseling. Before you do anything else, stop and say, man, have we added Jesus to our marriage? Is there Jesus here? Are we trying to do this on our own strength? And I understand that there are things that need that needs serious counseling, stuff that's above my pay grade. But 99% of the marriage counseling that I've done, and I've done a lot because there's a lot of young people my age who have marriage problems because they've just got married. 99%, it's just, where's Jesus in your relationship? And once they either make the decision, I'm going to add Jesus, or they don't. And they say, no, man, this counselor said this, that, and the other thing. And then they end up getting a divorce because it's Jesus or it's nothing. If your marriage isn't full of godly fruit, you don't need to dig up each other's trash from the past. You don't need to replay your life story to see what went wrong. You don't need to examine every moment of your marriage until now. Just add Jesus. And it's not just marriages, okay? If your work life is lacking the fruit of Jesus, your family relationships, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your friends, maybe your finances. If there is any area of your life where you just can't understand why everything seems to go wrong and everything seems to frustrate you and everything seems to anger you, if there's an area in your life, man, maybe you just need to say, have I added Jesus? Because it seems like the change of Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, isn't in this. Finally, this verse is about the changed. The changed. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11 is about needing change. It is about identifying the need for change. And it is about the changed. People who have been changed by Christ. The climate of the section of Scripture is such were some of you. Or do you not know? 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, one last time. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. Some of you, Corinthians, Paul says. Some of you, Faith and Victory, Paul says. Some of you were sexually immoral. Some of you were idolaters. Some of you were drunkards. Some of you were greedy. Some of you were revelers and swindlers. Some of you were thieves. Others were fornicators. Some of you were practicing homosexuality. Don't you remember what God has freed you from? Don't you remember how you used to be and then God changed you? Dude, I look at that list and I can check off every single one of them. I've had homosexual thoughts in my life. I've had that temptation. I've been a thief. I've been a liar. I've been a swindler. But Jesus Christ saved me. And He changed me. And as such, I hope that Faith and Victory Church is a church that welcomes such people. Not because you accept their sin and say it's great. Not because you boast in their sin. But you say, you know what? I used to be like you. I had the log. Let me help you with your speck. Dude, I pray this prayer over my church, and this is where Matt steps in and say, we don't pray that. I don't know. This is the dangerous part, okay? I pray this prayer over my church. I say, Lord, would you fill these chairs with drunkards and with homosexuals and with adulterers and with fornicators and with thieves, people who never knew the love of Jesus, who are living in their sin and who are destined for hell, would you bring them in here? Sometimes I even pray, Lord, would you bring the demon possessed here, but leave the demon at the door? Yeah. Not because I want a church full of sinners, but because I want a church full of people who've been redeemed. Yeah. And so I want to lead them to Christ. Right? That's what this verse is about. Verse 11 is one of the most powerful and beautiful verses in all of Scripture. Such were some of us. But we were washed. We were sanctified. We were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. If we were that way, why would we withhold it from others?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 is not about condemnation. It is about baking a St. Paddy's Day cake and determining whether or not you added the green food coloring. If you haven't, don't ignore the problem. Don't condemn the cake to the garbage. Just simply add the food coloring. Can I get the worship team to come up? Dude, we're going to keep it real today. This is too important of a message. I know it's so simple of a message. But man, we just got to be humble and we got to ask ourselves and we got to examine our life sometimes. So here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like everyone to close their eyes and start praying. If you are secure in your salvation this morning, if you're secure, and I know that Pastor Matt does an altar call every Sunday, or almost every Sunday, and I know that sometimes for people who've been here for years, it might just be another thing. There is nothing more important in this world than giving glory to God by leading people to Christ. Yeah. It's changing eternity. So if you're secure in your salvation today, I want you to begin praying right now. Pray for the person on your left. Pray for the person on your right. Pray that if there is anybody in here who doesn't know Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation. Now I'm going to do this altar call a little bit different. And I just want you to be honest with yourself. It's not about condemnation. There's no shame in repentance. If you are not secure in your salvation this morning, if you're still wondering, I want you to examine your life. Don't examine whether you said the prayer once. Don't examine about whether you've been baptized or not. Examine the fruit of the Spirit in your life this morning. Since you have been coming to church, since you have been doing the Christian thing, since you have said the prayer, or maybe you've never said the prayer, do you have love? A change of love in your life? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Does that describe your life? Have you seen a change in that? Again, I'm not trying to condemn anyone. You don't have to be perfect, but you should know there was a time when I was not these things, and God's done something great. Here's the reality of it. One last time with the green cake example. That food bouncer doesn't care if the cake's pretty. Maybe the cake's falling apart. Maybe it's burnt. Maybe I put one too many eggs in it and it's kind of mushy. Maybe it tastes really bad. All he cares about is whether it's green or not. Your life doesn't have to be perfect. We are all growing together to be like Christ. But you've got to ask yourself, is my cake green? Have I introduced Jesus into my life? Have I fully accepted Him as Lord and Savior? Nicodemus asked, what must a man do to be saved? Jesus said, a man must be born again. Not born of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. The Bible describes being born again as this. First, you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And maybe you don't believe that, but you want to believe that. There's nothing wrong with the prayer. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. The Bible says you must confess Him as Lord. The word Lord is not a religious word. It is an English word. It means my Lord tells me what to do and I do it. I'm going to listen to Him. When He tells me, I'm going to obey. Finally, we repent. It just means turn away. I'm going to stop living for myself and I'm going to start living for Jesus. Maybe you've come to church for 6 years for yourself and you can't figure out why it's not working, because Jesus wants you to come for Him. He'll take care of the rest. This morning, if you've never been born again, or maybe you feel like you had, but man, this, the Holy Spirit is just tugging on your heart. And he's saying, that's you. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see that hand. Can I have some deacons come up to the front? Here's the challenge, guys. If you just raise your hand, you took a big step, but I'm going to ask you to take a bigger step. The Bible says that he wants you to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. If you raised your hand this morning, would you please come up to the front? Come up to one of these deacons and let them pray for you. And everybody else is going to cheer for you. Can you guys cheer for these guys? Now, deacons, I'm going to let you do your thing. You pray with them, but we're not done with this altar call. If there's areas in your life that you know Jesus has not been involved in, and you want to add Jesus this morning to your marriage, to your job, to your relationships, and you're just broken and you don't know what to do anymore, man, I want you to come up to the front. And I just want you to come up, come in the aisle, and just stand. We're going to pray together. If you have any area in your life that Jesus has not been fully affecting it, I invite you to come up so I can pray with you. Father, I thank you for these mighty men and women of God. I thank you for all of the precious souls who are up here confessing you as Lord for the first time. And I thank you for all of these saints who are saying, I want more Jesus. I want more of you in my life, in my marriage, in my job, and in my work. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would do something miraculous. I don't know what people are going through, but you do. And you're the one who does the change. Holy Spirit, begin to work miracles in these lives, in these ministries, in these jobs, in these families, in these relationships, in these people. Begin to work miracles, something new. Create a clean heart. Bring new mercies every morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that Faith and Victory Church would be a church full of 100% on fire believers. And that we as a church would accept you into every area of our being. That we would let the light shine into every corner of our house. And that there would be no dark room. Father, I thank you. I praise you. And I glorify you for this grace. If you're standing up here, if you're sitting down, I don't want you to respond to this, okay? For those of you standing in the aisle, standing up, I want you to respond to this and I want you to mean it. I know you guys do it, but I want you to mean it. I'm going to say God is good and I want you to say all the time. And I want you to think about that area of your life that Jesus hasn't been introduced. And when you say it, you mean it over that area. Would you respond with me? God is good.
All the time,
in every area, in every speck of life, God is good. Let's praise Him. Would you all just sing a little bit of worship as we close, and then I'll hand things over.
So good for me.
Yes, you know what I'm saying.
at us and just shook it.
For I took the breath, you breathed your life into me. You have been so, so kind to me.
The overwhelming.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, till you gave yourself away.
Yes, Lord.
While your foe still your love fought for me. You've been so, so good to me. When I found no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending. Love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I could earn it, I don't deserve it, still you gave yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Yes, Lord.
No shall you want my love, now do you want my love.
Coming after me.
No wall you won't kick down, fire you won't tear down, coming after me.
Yes, Lord! Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. With no wall you won't kick down, fire you won't tear down, you're coming after me.
No shadow you won't light up.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Come on, give the Lord a clap this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we glorify you, Lord. Father, we lift you up. God, Father, we praise you for who you are and what you are.
Hallelujah.
And God, we thank you that you are the one that produces fruit in our lives.
Yes.
Father, we pray that you would apply your blood upon our lives.
Yes.
Father, that blood would come over us in such a way that people would look at us and know that we have been changed by you.
Yes! Hallelujah!
Father, we thank you for this word this morning. Father, we pray that we wouldn't leave here the same way. But even today, as we go from this place, that people would look at our lives and see the effect that you've had on our lives. God, not that we would create it, not that we would force it, but God, that supernaturally, Holy Spirit, that you would create in us the fruit of the Spirit. Father, we thank you so much for bringing Pastor Christian this morning, God. Father, we thank you for the word that he had for our church, God, and we pray that we would live it out. Father, we thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank God for you.
Praise God.
Hey, will you guys give your attention for 30 more seconds? Look at me. Don't look anywhere else. Okay? Do you guys know what it's like to receive a blessing? Does it make you feel good? Does it encourage you? Okay. God made it clear to me that we're going to take up an offering for Pastor Christian. I'm always this guy that, like, the church does well enough financially that we never need to take up an offering for a preacher. We're giving him a love gift. He's going to love it. But I know that when a preacher walks out going, "What the heck just happened?" it encourages him when he goes back to his town to know that God is with him. And here's the other thing too. He's been away from his wife and kids for a whole entire week, and she's drowning in diapers and kids and everything else. And when he comes home and goes, "Honey, but look," she's gonna be like, "Thank you, Jesus." So, Casey is going to be back in the foyer in just standing there with a bucket. If you have a couple bucks, man, don't feel bad. If it's just what you've got in your pocket, just throw it in there. Throw in a check, whatever. We'll get it to him. But just bless him if you can. Amen? Amen. Remember, Easter egg hunt at noon. Church is at 8, 10, and 12. I love you guys. Have a great Sunday. Bye.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team. Thank you for watching.